The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
Let's start with the very grave charges brought against the former leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, Geoffrey Donaldson. Charges, it should be emphasised at this stage, which will have to be tried and then guilt or innocence will be determined. We're joined by Amanda Ferguson, who was at Newry Magistrates Court today. And can you outline first for us, please, Amanda, the nature of the charges been brought against both Geoffrey Donaldson and indeed his wife, Eleanor?
Okay, well, Sir Geoffrey Donaldson MP is facing 11 historical sex offence charges. The court heard today that he's facing one charge of rape, one count of gross indecency towards a child, and 9 counts of indecent assault on a female. The charges relate to 2 complainants and were allegedly committed on dates between 1985 to 2006. Now, Geoffrey Donaldson's wife, Eleanor Donaldson, also appeared in court charged with aiding and abetting the offence, and also with cruelty to a person under 16. The two of them only spoke to confirm their names and their date of birth and the fact that they understood the charges that were against them.
Yes, so they didn't say anything else, no pleading at this stage of any kind?
No, this is just a first appearance. So the procedural matter really just dealt with a little bit of bail variance. Essentially, up until this point, Geoffrey Donaldson and Eleanor Donaldson have had to live separately at addresses in London and County Down. So the court heard that no contact between the two defendants was no longer relevant, as the district judge put it. And the bail conditions was a repetition that the defendant shouldn't speak to any of the witnesses, and it emerged in court detail that further witnesses have come forward since the first charges. So it was reiterated that the defendant shouldn't be speaking to any of the witnesses, and they were both released on their own bail of £350 each. So essentially the way this played out today was that Sir Geoffrey Donaldson arrived with his solicitor around 9:30 a.m. There was a huge media scrum, maybe 60 to 70 journalists outside the court. I asked Sir Geoffrey Donaldson if he had anything to say, and he didn't. The court proceedings began at about 10:30 and lasted 7 minutes, and then the two had to sign bail and left separately at around midday. Now, Eleanor Donaldson left the court first. There had been a bit of a sort of public gathering across the road. Maybe around 50 members of the public had gathered on the other side of the road with smartphones, and when Geoffrey Donaldson was leaving court with his solicitor, there was a bit of a surge towards to reporters and police and to Geoffrey Donaldson in the middle of it. So Geoffrey Donaldson and his solicitor had to move back towards the court exit, and police had to clear a way for him to get in to his car so he could move off.
Okay. I suppose what's different in the North to what would happen here in the Republic is that if somebody has charges of this nature brought against them in the Republic, their anonymity is protected. Why is it different up North?
Well, in the North, accused persons don't have recourse to anonymity. That is something that is provided for complainants. Now, the only time that a defendant would be entitled to anonymity in a sexual offences case would be if the PPS had requested that, because they feared that identifying the accused would identify the complainant. But that hasn't happened in these circumstances. So if we go back a little bit to how this unfolded, Geoffrey Donaldson and his wife were arrested on March 28th. They were charged on March 28th. On March 29th, Geoffrey Donaldson resigned as DUP leader and was suspended as a DUP member. And a statement was issued by the party, essentially revealing himself.
So he effectively outed himself in that regard so that his identity became known. Tell us, why is he still allowed, if he is facing these most serious of charges, to be a member of the British Parliament, particularly at a time when he has resigned his leadership of the party for whom he stood when he was elected?
Yes, there is no compulsion for him to resign as an MP. It will be something that will be his choice. It's not in the gift of the DUP to decide that. He now sits as an independent unionist MP. The agreement had been that the DUP had said that the agreement was that Sir Geoffrey Donaldson had agreed not to enter the parliamentary estate for the duration of the judicial process. And as you referenced earlier, there is a way to go with this, that people are innocent until proven guilty and so on. However, I do know that the Labour MP, Jess Phillips, has been questioning this issue for a while about if MPs are facing serious offences such as this, why would it be a voluntary arrangement for them not to enter the parliamentary estate? Why would it not be a compulsory matter? So that may be something that's changed in British legislation in the time ahead. But for now, there's no sense that he's, you know, turning up at Westminster or anything like that.
But does he still get paid for the job? Because in many cases, somebody might be suspended with or without pay.
I would need to look into the detail of that, but certainly there's no sense that a by-election is going to be triggered in Lagan Valley anytime soon. And if he hasn't stepped down, then I'd imagine that he still would be paid. I know that on top of the not being able to go to Parliament, as we've discussed, he's been suspended by the DUP as a member pending the outcome of the judicial process. He's also been suspended as a member of the Orange Order pending the outcome of the judicial process. He has resigned from some of the organisations that he's linked to, such as the Centre for Peacebuilding and Democracy. And also he did have a UK government trade envoy role for Egypt and Cameroon. And in recent weeks, the UK government confirmed that he was not taking up those roles anymore.
OK, what's the timeline for this? Because certainly in the Republic, these things tend to start slowly and move slowly. I can't imagine that there would have been a hearing as quickly in the Republic in a situation like this. So what happens now up north in Newry?
Yes, well, the reason why this happened quite promptly, I guess, is because instead of police referring the case to the Public Prosecution Service, they were just, as Geoffrey Donaldson and Eleanor Donaldson, were just charged directly to court on a 28-day charge. So it's been 28 days since those charges. And it means now that after that first appearance, the next stage of the judicial process will be a mention, as it's described, on May the 22nd, which is essentially to set out a timetable for what happens next. So we may get more detail on the timeline for the proceedings after that date. However, we do know that Geoffrey Donaldson and Eleanor Donaldson aren't likely to appear at court on that day. They're not compelled to appear at that particular mention, and we should get more detail at that point.
It will be a
long process. Yeah.
Yeah. How's the Democratic Unionist Party functioning without him?
Well, the DUP moved very fast to put Gavin Robinson as an interim leader. They haven't confirmed that as an official post yet. There has been no contest or no official vote on that. And they did talk about turmoil and shock in the opening days of this, but they have quickly moved to try to dissociate themselves from what's going on with the legal process. And really, other than the TUV, all of the other political parties in the north are very much just taking the view that this is now with the legal system, this is now with the courts, and it's a matter for the courts, so they're not trying to make political capital on it.
Thank you very much, Amanda Ferguson, for joining us today here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.